The noble and merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the meaning of the hadith is as follows, a little bit as follows, that shall I tell you of such a thing? Shall I tell you something that will make your amal or your amal, your deed or deeds beloved, and within your deeds will create passion, desire, and it will make it easy for you, sahal for you to practice. Who stated this? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, what three things that for attaining this feeling and status to do? Dhikr of Allah, kathir, in abundance. This is important, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Today, we have forgotten this fact and this important factor. We have totally forgotten this. This foundation, this essentiality, there's so many great benefits that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in this hadith. It is apparent, it's obvious that with the fadl and karam and tawfiq of Allah, we do amal. We practice amal, we fast and pray, we go on hajj and umrah, we recite Quran, we give sadaqat, charity. Whatever tawfiq Allah gives, everything according to our capability and capacity, we practice. But as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about this, about amal, and to bring in the good positive things into amal. Yes, we're practicing amal, but the first thing, Rasulullah, for example, we prayed salah. And with the fadl of Allah, we prayed salah. With Allah's permission and Allah's blessings, we all prayed salah. With Allah's fadl, with Allah's blessings and the bounty of Allah. So, without this we can't pray. But what do we know, that where has our salah got to? Has it been accepted? Is it hanging in there somewhere? Has it reached to its destination? We prayed salah because we wanted Allah Ta'ala to accept it, isn't it? So that it becomes a luggage for us in the akhirah, assists us in our time of need. We left home, we did wudu. After performing ablution, we came towards Allah's home, the masjid, and we prayed salah. We carried out the actions, we've spent the time, we've made effort. So this hadith gives the guarantee from Allah that this salah that you've prayed, it won't just be beloved in Allah's eyes, but it won't just be accepted, it will be beloved on top of that. If you do dhikr of Allah, if you do dhikr of Allah, is this insignificant? Is this a minor? Dhikr of Allah? All our life long we practice and we do ibadah, we worship. This is a great hadith of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that amal in which you do that actions along with, in parallel you do dhikr of Allah, it is greater than the other actions in which there is no dhikr of Allah. So that action is greater than other actions in which there is dhikr of Allah. That salah is greater than other salahs in which there is the dhikr of Allah. That fast is better and greater and loftier than the other fasts in which there is no dhikr of Allah. So hajj, umrah, sadaqat, charity, recitation of Quran, getting up in the night, praying to Allah. All of these, the precondition, if you want to compare like for like and see which one's better and which one's not as good and lofty and weighty, then there's nothing that can compare to those deeds that are done in parallel along with, included with the dhikr of Allah. The deeds that are done without the dhikr of Allah inclusion cannot compare, they cannot reach to that height. They cannot reach to the height. There's no comparison. There's no equality. This is the dhikr of Allah, my friends. This is the dhikr of Allah. Today there are so few people sitting here for the dhikr of Allah. Look at this. As qiyamah comes closer, as the hereafter comes closer, the good deeds are withering away. There's falsehood, there's fakiness, there's no reality. There will be so-called enjoyment and comfort and fake actions. And the ruh of all the ibadah, the spirit of all the ibadah, we don't feel like doing it, we don't like that action. Rather, despite not liking it, we start to try to extract deficiencies from dhikr of Allah. The pious predecessor said that at that time, take the assistance of what? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, his statements. And from there we will realize that our deeds are on what quality, on what level. Don't look at dunya. If you look at dunya and what the dunya is and the words of the dunya, then it will be very difficult to reach the destination. Very difficult indeed. Everyone will speak about himself, worry about himself, care about himself. And there's a hadith that I just mentioned in the beginning at your service, that this is the gathering of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala has made me sit down with your sadaqah due to your good nature and your actions. And we should be grateful to Allah that Allah Ta'ala, even though we've got a few deeds only to our name, but we should do shukr to Allah, be grateful. Allah has given us a chance. Allah has given us His reward. We're sitting here. Everyone who came here for salah, they left, they said, oh, I've prayed salah. But look towards this hadith about the dhikr of Allah and how it enhances and boosts the deeds. That salah can never equate to the salah of a person who does dhikr of Allah on top of it. In hadith, it's just said just this much. That if you do just this much, that after salah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, even then that becomes a great ibadah. After any deed, you recite these kalamat. Make this wazifa. Rasulullah ﷺ has given us this lesson, this prescription. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar. Abundance of dhikr is fine. But even if you can't do that, Allah loves this dhikr so much that there's no limit to this. The deed that you've done, if you read in this kalam after any deed, then inshallah it's accepted in the court of Allah. So that salah, we don't know about our salah, we don't do remembrance of Allah, we don't know if the salah is accepted, was it of good quality, will Allah Ta'ala accept it? But if after salah, alongside salah, before salah or after salah, if you do a bit of dhikr, you remember Allah, your salah will be accepted and close to Allah, will be beloved to Allah. That salah will become so beloved and close to Allah. So tell me how that salah will make you forgiven, your fast, your hajj, your tilawat, your Qur'an. So you should be regular in doing dhikr in parallel with all the deeds. We should consider it's essential, compulsory. There's no option in dhikr of Allah. Oh, I can leave it, I don't have to do it, I won't get no punishment. Then see in the akhirah what will happen. See in the akhirah. Learn from the hadith, from the ahadith, the lies of the pious predecessors. Why did all our pious predecessors, the alims, they wrote great kitabs, volumes of books, they were famous personalities. They weren't minor people. What did they do all night long in the khankah? Why did they run towards the khankahs? Why did they pick up the shoes of their walis, their sheikhs, of their teachers? Famous personalities have passed before us. Yes, he has written more than 1,000 kitabs. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatul Alayh, more than 1,000 kitabs he's written. And look at Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah, his life. Where did he run to? What did he used to do? Whose dhikr did he do until his final breaths? Until his final moments. As a Zakir Ramtala, he had a desire, final. And they mentioned this, people explained this. On his bed in the final moments, he stated, he requested that spread the dhikr of Allah. Spend time and effort in the dhikr of Allah. As a Shaykh al-Hadith Ramtala requested this. Spread this, such pious predecessors like this. And when they're about to depart from the world, then inkashaf and weighty statements and practices come from that time. And kitabs have been written and there are special khadims and assistants. I saw a special assistant in Madinatul Manawwar of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith about 20 years ago, maybe a bit more than that. And I was with Hazrat Shaykh Ramdhi in the final moments in Madinatul Manawwar, and he was a special assistant. And he gave a special message. And Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith would come with a special message from Rasulullah, and the assistant would hear this and he would spread this and tell the people. I saw this myself. And mashallah, from the pious predecessors, the walis of Allah, in their final moments, Allah Ta'ala gives them great messages to spread to the people so that their lives can be made, so that people are alive, so that they can understand. Allahu Akbar. Because if, for example, they said such weighty and great things during the whole of their life, then people will be running after them and say, oh, do this and do this. Allah Ta'ala says that, oh, what does this wali wala want? Why is he a wali? How did he become a wali? What is his mission? What is his message? What teachings is he distributing to people? If during their life they show more jazat or karamat, and they show people extra things, then people will run after those actions, the extra actions, not the actions they should be reacting. Oh, he's a great man. Oh, let's do dua for him for our shop, or for our dunya, our requirements, or let's do dua for a son, or for this. But nobody thinks that this is a wali, let's learn about the akhirah from him, what to do for the grave from him. No, how sad. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals his pious people from the dunya, from the people, from the masses in the world. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't expose their condition to the people, and he shows them as insignificant. But those people whose hearts are soft, tender, who want to go to Allah, Allah Ta'ala opens the secrets of His walis to those people, and they come to those and accept them as the sheikh, as the teacher. They normal people, the common man in the world, says, "Ah, oh, he's just nothing. He's jahil. He's illiterate. Why are people going after him? Why are they doing things, learning from him?" This is the difference. In those hearts where there's a passion, a desire, they want to attain Allah's nearness, they want to go to Allah, they want to be good, they want to be pious, and there's obstacles in their way, then in their hearts Allah Ta'ala instills this, just like you see that the butter, it melts in front of the fuel, in the heat. In the same way, the people who are tender-hearted, soft, and they have the passion, desire to get close to Allah, they go to the Shaykh, to the Wali. And the other people, the common people in the world, say, why are they going after him? Why are they accepting him as a teacher? It looks like he's a magician, he's trapping the people. So with dhikr, what happens? First, when you do dhikr of Allah, when you're regular with dhikr, then it makes your deed beloved. Can there be anything greater than this? Forget about accepted, it will become beloved. Obviously, if the deed's beloved, then obviously it's accepted. And it's a high status deed. And if Allah Ta'ala makes your deeds beloved, then Allah Ta'ala will give the rewards for the beloved deeds. You'll get the hoor, which will be beloved. You'll get the palace, which is a beloved, special VIP palace for the person. Why? Because he's my beloved servant who's coming. And he's coming with the beloved action, so give him the beloved rewards. On which point? Due to what action? The dhikr of Allah. What is our dhikr? We just do dhikr because Allah loves dhikr, the action of dhikr, even if it's broken and weak, but we do the dhikr of Allah to make the deeds beloved. And what's the second benefit? When you do dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, the taste is created in the practice. This is a very big reward. The taste, the pure desire. Today we complain, Shaykh, Hazrat, I'm doing dhikr, I can't feel enjoyment, I'm praying salah, I can't feel the satisfaction, I recite Quran, I can't feel that passion, I can't feel the enjoyment, I can't get that maza. You know, the great emotional feelings that I want to attain. We're running after this all our lives. But brothers, what is the enjoyment and taste and satisfaction after praying salah? Ask that person who's on that path. That ask that person whose feet swell up due to standing all night long in prayer. And he says, I can't even finish the enjoyment. There's so much enjoyment. Every ibadah of Allah worship is so rewarding, enjoyment and satisfactory and emotional, that we would get so much out of it that, believe me, you would not feel like doing anything in the world if we attain the real core ruh of the ibadah. And salah is top of the list, is the icing on the cake, because within salah is Quran, there's prostration, there's durood, there's dua, all of the deeds, and there's actions physical in salah. Every salah, look at salah, when you recite Quran, if a sajda comes, you have to go into action mode and prostrate. When you're reciting Quran and the sajda comes, the prostration mark comes straight. You leave the Quran, you have to go into prostration. You have to do ruku, etc. No, you have to do sajda. And then you get up and you recite. Even when you're reciting Quran in salah and the sajda mark comes, you have to fall into prostration. Action step. This is a beautiful form of worship. Allah Ta'ala's Quran, Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah Ta'ala's salah. And who are the people who really understand the satisfaction and enjoyment of salah? The people who do the dhikr of Allah. The people who remember Allah. And then we're surprised, why this person in long sujood, long prostration, I can't feel that emotion of crying. And he, when he gets his head up from prostration, the carpet's wet and his beard's wet and the carpet, the ground's wet due to his tears, and his tears don't stop. And this person, why is he crying? So this is the reason, because those people who have these emotions, they do all of the actions in parallel with dhikr of Allah. Their salah has dhikr in parallel. They have enjoyment, taste. Look at Hajj. Hajj is a beautiful ibadah and the routine for the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've taken your clothes off, you've got the sheets on, you're in the hot, humid climate, and you're shaving your head, you're doing dua, you're going to the mountain, you're going to this plain, you're going to this place, then you do tawaf, then you go to Arafat, you go to take your, you have to put the ihram on, then you take the ihram off, etc. As soon as you leave home to go to the Hajj, you become a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your actions are reflections of the lover of Allah. They're not fake actions. They're solely sincere. Remember this, the person who does niyyah for umrah or hajj, he cannot be a fake person. He's not a fake personality. He's an ashik. He's got the stamp of approval. He's an ashik, the lover. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I invite those people to my home in for whom I have ishq, love. Otherwise, you can never get the invitation to get to the Kaaba. There are many people who reach there because they're the lovers of Allah. And the ashik, he takes his clothes off, he puts the sheets on the ihram, the king, the rich, the poor, they all forget. The man with the money. But when he sits in the plane, you don't know what status as a person. Is he wealthy, rich, middle class, high class, low class? Everyone's got the same two white sheets of cloth on. There's no differentiation. Everyone's traveling in that same mode, same direction. I said, see that? All of my lovers have the same appearance, the same proof, not from their money, money, not from their wealth are they recognized. My love is such, Allah Ta'ala says, that it makes everyone on an equal plane footing. And then you see the reality of their love for Allah. When they discard their dunyawi artifacts and their items and they go running towards Allah. And so they feel the love in the passion. So first is, you get the, your actions become beloved to Allah. Secondly, you feel the pure taste and enjoyment and emotions when you practice your deeds. And the third thing, it makes your deeds easy to perform. So dhikr of Allah makes your deeds beloved. Secondly, it makes them full of passion and design taste. And third, it will make them easy to do. Many times people complain, I pray, I do actions. People who pray salah all day long, oh, I'm lazy, negligent. Oh, I don't feel like praying. You're praying salah, and then 2 days they don't come to fajr. And they'll start to pray salah regularly, and then the salah starts to go back and back and back, and there'll be less emphasis on salah. Look at this. So what's the reason for this? Laziness, negligence, ghaflat, dryness. It's hard to do wudu. Who's going to do wudu? Who's going to get up in the morning, go to pray in the masjid? How can we do this? It's too difficult to do the actions. And what is this? Because your ibadat, your worship, your deeds, you don't do it, you neglect the deeds, it becomes very difficult to perform the deeds, the ibadat. Oh, it's hard. How do I practice? How can I get up for tahajjud? No, tahajjud. Oh, that's too hard, man. I'm going to pray tahajjud. How am I going to get up that time? Oh, it's too difficult for us. One chapter of Quran. How can I pray? How can I recite one chapter of Quran? That's too hard. Oh, it's too time consuming. Every person. No, I can't practice that, brother. Please don't tell me. Go and pray in congregation. No, I can't pray salah in jamaat. Who's going to get up in the morning? It's cold, difficult. How can I go to the masjid to pray? I'll pray at home. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? Those people who do the dhikr of Allah, for them salah to reach to the masjid is like what? Like, you know, people in the dunya are running to watch a cricket match. It's that easy. And people going to watch a cricket match, they're running after the dunya with pure enjoyment, yeah, and excitement. Yeah, they'll go running. They'll sacrifice everything in the dunya to go and seek the enjoyment. They'll get pushed, shoved. They'll go in the queue. They'll take the sticks. And they don't even know the place where they're going to, but they'll travel far and hungry and tired because there's enjoyment in the world. When Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's ibadat, Allah's home is hard for us. Alhamdulillah. A person who does dhikr of Allah, they run towards wudu. They run towards ablution. Tatatafa junubim, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. That those people, Allah Ta'ala says that those people, there are legs, they tremble for praying tahajjud. What is the other side of the fence? Tatatafa fi junubim, Allah Ta'ala says that their backs, their bodies cannot attach themselves to the mattress. They toss and turn. Is it time? They're waiting. Then that time come in the night, that portion of the night for tahajjud, so I can get up and start my work. Aha. Is this not the case? Are there people not like this? The Quran mentions those people. Such beautiful sift quality attribute all night long, tossing and turning left and right. Is it azan time? Is it fajr time yet? Tahajjud time finished yet? They don't feel the enjoyment. And as soon as they get up, oh, they get the satisfaction, peace, enjoyment. The eyes are red. They're tired. The sleep has not been fulfilled. And they're running. They do wudu. And say, Allahu Akbar. They start the salah. And Hafiz al-Quran, mashallah, and he starts talawat recitation. He starts Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah Yasin. For the Hafiz, they should not be misers. Stand up and they start reciting small ayats. Wadduha wal-layli idha saja. They shouldn't be reciting this. For the Hafiz, he should pray long rakats, long ayat and beautiful ayat and verses. All ayat and the surahs. But they should understand it. The meaning, they should understand it. Hafiz al-Quran. And he's reciting Surah Falaq, Surah Nas. He said he's praying tahajjud in 3 minutes and he's free. That's sad. How sad. This is Quran. Allah Ta'ala has given us Quran. Imagine, let's think with our minds and our ears and our brains, that how many hafiz are there who are waking up for tahajjud at that time? And how many people are lost from this? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up my heart up. He sealed the Quran in my heart. What excuse do I have? What excuse, what encouragement do I need? And Allah Ta'ala has made me stand up for salah. That salah in which there are ruku and sajood and my heart has Quran in my heart. Then tell me there'll be enjoyment and belovedness. And it'll be easy at the same time. So his deed of tahajjud will be beloved. And it will be easy to practice. It will be accepted by Allah, inshallah. But think, he's a hafiz of Quran. And he has all the rank and the status. And he's standing. And he's got everything. He's got salah, tahajjud. And then Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter what you do. Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter what you, whatever I've given to you, whatever action you do, whatever ibadah you do. But every ibadah will be successful when you put my dhikr in attachment with that ibadah. What a great point. Not I'm hafiz, I'm just reading Quran. That's it. No. Dhakir. Allah Ta'ala says, the dhakir is high, dhikr action is high upon every action. Say Subhanallah. In other words, we are those people, we are nothing, but we are the highest in the rank, inshallah, with Allah's fazl. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the poor people. Look, poor people like us, how Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. Think about it. Think, where we are useless. Look at the ulama ikram, high rank status people, hufaz, ulama ikram, and scholars. And we broken people, they say, who are these people? And they'll say, these were those people who grabbed hold of that deed that I loved. Allah Ta'ala said, they grabbed hold of my dhikr. And look, they're higher than you. They're gone beyond you. So will we do dhikr or not? Look at what great, beautiful hadith that came to my mind. Beautiful hadith. So dhikr of Allah is a great action. Now let's think one point here. Very beautiful point here that's come to my mind. That what is the reason that dhikr, due to dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah elevates salah, Allah elevates the practice of reading Quran, Allah makes us His beloved, the action is beloved, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy to practice. In other words, think first yourself, alhamdulillah, you are people who do dhikr, there are many people, mashallah, you know me, I know you. And how hard it was for us before we came towards this path. Tell me, with honesty, am I saying right or wrong? But after you learned dhikr, how your life improved and came towards the good. After doing dhikr of Allah, have you become bad people? Are you fundamentalists? Are you terrorists? Do you kill people? Do you beat people? No, you yourselves are an example. Once you learn dhikr and you do dhikr regularly, you got peace, satisfaction, love, harmony, passion, bowing to Allah, prostrating to Allah, grateful to Allah, crying, praying tahajjud, and reading salah, running after salah. Is there a difference in your life or not? Beautiful, positive difference. And this is the dhikr of Allah. So now, anyone can do propaganda and spread whatever misconceptions and defects they want, but dhikr of Allah is mentioned by Allah as a beautiful action. A gangster, bandit, thief, person who consumes tax and does bad actions and takes the haq of people and does dhulam and oppresses, when he does dhikr and his life transforms to beautiful positiveness. He gives goodness to people, he fulfills their rights, he loves people in the world, he serves people, assists people, helps people from people of every religion and creed and color and ethnic origin, whatever. And the people of the world turn around and say, what a great human being this person is. There's no one better than him. Rather, they look for him, seeking him. Where's that person who came the other day? He's such a good man. He gave us food today. He gave us food yesterday. And we never asked about him. And non-believers say this. They are forced to accept that, who are you, oh good person? And then if he tells them, then they are amazed that we heard that Muslims are dirty people. They're extremists, fundamentalists. They kill people. They're people. And this is your religion? And then they smile and he smiles and says, yes, this is my deen. And those people you hear about this, they have no link with our deen. They have no link with our religion. They have no link with our path. Our deen teaches goodness, greatness, fairness, equality, what you see in the world, what should be. So what makes us, or what should make us like this? What does? Dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. That's the dhikr of Allah. This is the dhikr of Allah. So as I gave the example, that what we were not before, and now we pray tahajjud, we get up. And what else do we get from all of this? That after dhikr, what will you have felt and seen in your life? That we have recognized what the sins are. Even if we commit the sin, but we know it's the sin now. Before, what did we say? Oh, where's it written? Why are you saying this is a sin? Everyone does it in the world. So if I practice this, what difference does it make? But now it's made a difference. For me, it has indeed. I have to say that so much difference has come that I know that this is now a sin. Even if I do the sin, but I know that this is fire. If a person recognizes fire as fire, he will never put his hand into the fire. He will then save himself from the sins, from doing the bad actions. So what made this difference? The dhikr of Allah. Do dua to the pious predecessors. I swear by Allah, who made effort their whole life, and what did they make us? So brethren, respected colleagues, I want to ask something, then we will start the dhikr of Allah, because I've extended. It was a small hadith. I thought I'll just mention the hadith, but then all of this discussion came out and everything came out and unraveled. And this was just in my heart. I just wanted to narrate the hadith to you and share it with you as a ni'mah, as a gift from Allah, because we're sitting in the dhikr of Allah. So we should do shukr to Allah, isn't it? And the greatest, best way to do the shukr of Allah is to discuss those blessed words that came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the greatest way to do shukr. Subhanallah says then that these people are discussing the hadith of my mahbub Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will be happy with them. That's why I discussed the hadith with you. But now the discussion continued. I want to give you another meaning, another angle, then we'll go towards the dhikr. What's the difference that dhikr has made to us? Allah Ta'ala has given such great, or He will give such great rewards for dhikr. What is the capacity of dhikr? That salah becomes beloved, becomes easy for us. So why suddenly has the storm brewed due to dhikr, and that person next to me is praying, I'm praying. So why suddenly has my salah become boosted to the heights? I'm speaking from the angle of the meaning of the hadith. There's two men praying. One man's praying, this man's praying. X and Y. But there's one who's a dhakir and there's one who's not a dhakir. The hadith bears witness that the dhakir who prays and does dhikr at the same time in his life, his salah is very highty. And the person who's the non-dhakir cannot reach to the heights of the dhakir in his salah. Cannot even reach there. These are the words that have come from Rasulullah's beautiful hadith. So dhikr is a beautiful action. What is it within dhikr that makes the deeds elevate in eyes? So what's in my mind shall I share with you? It's my final point, so I want to present it with you, share it with you, and we'll realize the benefit of dhikr. Look, my brothers, my colleagues, every deed that we practice in our lives, every deed, then obviously, apparently, outwardly, there's a deed there that we can see. But Allah is watching, and Allah knows that are we doing the deed for Allah? Everything we're doing, is it for Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the beloved, most beloved thing for Allah? This, my hazrat, my sheikh, always gave me nasi advice for this, and consider this as the life, the ruh of all the deeds. And this is the ruh, the life of all actions. This is how you become a Sufi. This is how you become a pious person. And a Sufi isn't a person who's got horns on his head and he's pious. No. A Sufi is a total, solid, robust, good, pious Muslim who follows the path of deen. Nice, soft, tender, transparent, haleem, good, pious, nice person who radiates goodness. And this is what we call a Sufi. And there's no necessary, it's not necessary to have a title Sufi, but this is the word Sufi, what it means. Good person who radiates goodness. Nice person. My husband gave me this advice that whatever deed you do, be careful of one thing. Be careful. It should be sincere for Allah. Allah Ta'ala does not like insincere actions. Actions without sincerity. Do you understand this point? Would you like that you drink that's not pure? Allah loves actions that are pure and sincere. Would you like to eat, consume impure butter, impure tea? You'll ask for pure butter, pure tea, pure milk, pure foods. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us. And what deeds do we perform that are not pure and sincere? There are those deeds within which other things are contaminating that deed. So if we contaminate the deeds, then they're not pure and sincere. So let's come to the point. What does dhikr do? You do all of the ibadat, A to Z, morning to evening. We have two enemies. One is called, he has the title, Shaitan, and the other one is Nafs. These are our two solid and avowed enemies, Shaitan and our desires. Shaitan says, okay, you've prayed Salah, you started to pray Salah, no problem. You'll start to go on Hajj regularly. You're reciting Quran a lot nowadays, but you have to send the deeds to Allah, don't you? So I will make sure your deeds don't reach Allah, says Shaitan and the Nafs. He makes his hardest efforts to make our deeds contaminated. He contaminates our deeds, he injects them with impurities. And when that happens, Allah Ta'ala does not accept the deeds. And that's a beautiful point. Now Salah, we're praying Salah. But in our Salah, there's impurities. It's not for Allah. There's 1,000 other thoughts, 1,000 other intentions. So when we do actions, other deeds and worship actions, there are other contamination actions in there. You go for Umrah, you have other contamination. Okay, I'll go for Umrah, then I'll go here, then I'll go there. Okay, I'll do Umrah at the same time. No. So you're doing for the sake of Allah worship, and you're planning dunya and other contaminated actions around this Allah Ta'ala's worship. This is not the Ashik, the lover. Allah Ta'ala says that, look, in the world, the Mahbub says, I want the Mahbub, not the uncle, not the auntie, even the small child, I don't want. Direct, I want the Mahbub. So when we do ziyarat, we want to do the ziyarat of the Mahbub, and the Mahbub does ziyarat. So Allah says that, do my ziyarat, do the action for me. I want to love you and you love me. Allah says, direct. Direct, I want the love. There should be no third party involved. So we pray Salah, we stand in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in our minds come 1,000 other thoughts, dunya, world, actions of the world. So Shaitan and Nafs, they contaminate and spoil our every deed. They make them impure, insincere, and then we send them to Allah. And Allah ta'ala says, I've prepared a cleansing agent for this. Allah ta'ala has given us his dhikr, his remembrance. And the quality attribute of dhikr is such that by doing abundance and high quantity of dhikr, your deed becomes totally khalis and all of the impurities come out of the deed, and whatever action you do is for the sake of Allah, fi sabilillah, everything. I can't remember that salah, that my salah, my whatever, my actions, my bowing, my prostration is lillah. Everything becomes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, this is the verse, isn't it? So a person reaches to this maqam, the Quran mentions my salah, my efforts, everything Allah want them to become khalis for you. And to get to that station, we have to do dhikr of Allah. When we do dhikr regularly, that's why I stated that the person who does dhikr, his salah is more afdal, greater than the person who doesn't do dhikr. Because khalis, he's praying for Allah at that time. And 1,000 things may be attached to him. But how can the person who's immersed in dunya, how can his salah be the same as the dhakir? How can the person who's doing hajj with dhikr be the same as the person who's the non-dhakir? So the biggest reason, the boost for our deeds, the reason why we get the rewards from one deed, the other deed gets accepted and it becomes elevated. The reason for this is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. With the dhikr of Allah, the special deep-rooted love of Allah comes and the action becomes lillah, for the sake of Allah, sincerely and solely for Allah. And that's why we should do dhikr, my friends. My brothers, my Hazrat stated, go and call out, do dhikr, revive the people, awaken the people, remind the people, bring them, encourage them, so that the whole world and the people in the world do the dhikr of Allah, so they earn and become close to Allah. No salah of ours should be such that is not beloved in the eyes of Allah. Every salah, the next salah should be more beloved and higher in status. And these are the deeds we must do. Dhikr of Allah, what does it do? Why do we do dhikr? We don't do, we leave salah and then start doing dhikr of Allah. No. Dhikr is not important or great that we leave salah and we start doing dhikr. No. Dhikr is a supporting framework. We do all the actions under the sun that Allah has told us to A to Z with dhikr. We don't say, oh, let's leave salah, pray, do dhikr. Don't go in congregation, do dhikr of Allah. Don't do these actions, do dhikr of Allah. No, I'm not saying this. Dhikr of Allah boosts and elevates the deeds, purifies the deeds, makes them beloved to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, you do dhikr of Allah to purify your deeds, make your deeds better, so your salah is better. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I will accept the salah. Nothing else will be accepted in front of me. The faraid, the compulsory deeds, no other deed can become equal to them. There's no status of any deed. If Allah Ta'ala has called a deed fard, compulsory, there's no other deed that can come close to that. You can have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of nafal salah, but they cannot equate to one fard salah. You can have hundreds of thousands of hajj, but they cannot equate to one fard hajj. They cannot get to that fard hajj of that person that you have to fulfill. Nawafil, voluntary actions, have not got that power and status. So don't think what I'm saying is do dhikr, leave all the faraid actions and the deeds Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in his deen. No, we do dhikr to boost and purify, elevate and make our deeds high quality, so they're beloved and they're easy to perform. Understand what I'm saying? So what do we need to do? Dhikr of Allah. Will we do dhikr? Inshallah. Or we'll have to keep on pushing and asking, do you do dhikr in the morning? Why didn't you come in the evening? We sat in the morning. Why did you not come to Maraqabah? Why didn't you come to Fajr? There were many brothers who did not come to Fajr. I'm looking. Why didn't you come, brother? Why? This is the miracle. And Allah has given an invitation to you. Yusubhu bukratan wa asila, Allah Ta'ala says. That morning and evening, remember me. Wherever there's dhikr of Allah, that is the garden of paradise when there's dhikr of happening, a halaqa, assembly of dhikr, that portion is the, and there you'll get dal and chawal, rice and dal, lentils, but Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the food of Jannah, but no, we want the rice and the lentils, just like that person said, we want onions and less and ginger, we don't want the quail and the partridge. My friends, don't we want to come to the masjid? Reach to the masjid. Reach to the masjid. Don't be like the people of the previous generations, the previous ages. Did you hear a few years before that there's dhikr in Zakaria Masjid or dhikr in this masjid, that masjid? No, you didn't, did you? But Allah Ta'ala opened up His mercy. Allah Ta'ala laid down His mercy, the oceans of mercy. I swear by Allah. Wallah. Wallah, I swear by Allah, and I say clearly and openly that such great rewards Allah Ta'ala gives morning and evening on dhikr that we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine the rewards that Allah Ta'ala gives. That if you collect those rewards, the hafiz of Quran, how many times is Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran? Morning and evening, morning and evening. Tell me, Mawlana Sahib, has Allah Ta'ala not said this? So why have people fallen asleep? Where have the people gone? Such a great reward Allah Ta'ala gives. That a little bit you travel, you can't get there. Okay, oh, we'll pray Fajr here. Travel there, Allah will give you two rewards. You pray Fajr here, you travel there, there will be dhikr there, maraqaba, great mercies of Allah descending. It's not me, it's not my dhikr. You're not coming for me, it's not my gathering. My friends, I have no link with this. I was just given the order to host the gathering, to lead the dhikr. That's it, to teach dhikr. obviously it's apparent to do dhikr, to teach it, to host the gathering, to lead it. I'm not calling you to me. I'm not calling you to my gathering. No, you're going there with a niyyah. The aha, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is feeding the dhakireen in that gathering. We need to go and consume from that same gathering. Well, don't think about me. It's nothing to do with me. So consider that, this is Allah Ta'ala's langar, Allah Ta'ala's food, Allah Ta'ala's nourishing the people. The dhakireen were sitting in the morning after, and they're doing dhikr in the evening, and they will gather and collect so many khairat and goodness, and they will depart from that gathering in the morning, for rest of the day will become beautiful and easy. So will you come, brothers? Come. Come, make effort. Strive. 2, 4, 6 footsteps, and you travel a bit more, you come to that masjid, and remember Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, mashallah, you've come here tonight. How many people from there have come here today? They know today that there's no dhikr. We've all come here for dhikr. And the other people from there, from our locality, why have they not come today? Think, they don't even come to Thursday night. Or is it that we don't want deeds, we don't want rewards, we don't understand the hadith? What's the meaning of this? Inshallah, make niyyah. All brothers, make niyyah. Inshallah, make the niyyah. Inshallah, we'll reach there. Okay, if not every day, then at least come sometimes. Okay, we'll make a niyyah intention that we'll start coming 3 days a week. We can't come every day. Okay, we'll come twice a week. Make your routine, your schedule. Come on Mondays, Fajr, or Thursdays. Some brothers will say Tuesdays and Thursdays. Start with 2 days. Inshallah, your whole week will be full of that schedule. Recite Durood Sharif.